Jesus?
Amen.
I hope so. And if you're not, you need to get excited, you know, and just let the Lord blow up inside your spirit and God get real big in you. So I want to share with you tonight how important it is that you keep focused on where you're going and stop looking backwards, because it's over, right? It's history. Don't try to replay things. Let it go and just focus on what God wants to do in your life. I want to share tonight out of Acts chapter 14. I won't keep you long. I know school's back in session, so I'm just going to give you an encouraging word tonight as we continue to see the unfolding, the book of Acts or action or the Acts of the Apostles. And we looked at chapter 13 some weeks ago, and tonight we want to look at chapter 14. And I want to extract one verse out of the chapter, and really out of that verse, the entirety of the chapter is really based upon, and titled the message, What Does Faith Look Like? And if you look at verse 9, we pick up the reading there. Actually, in verse 8, it was in Lystra that a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. I like that part. Seeing that he had faith to be healed. I began to ask myself the question, what did he see? I mean, faith must be able to be seen. If he saw he had faith to be healed, he must have identified something, right? So we want to look at Acts chapter 14. And I really believe that chapter 14 helps us understand how you and I have to stay in faith. Regardless of circumstances, people, changing times, we stay in faith. Amen? We're going to continue to believe the Word of God. If you go to chapter 14 and verse 1, you'll see a revival broke out in this entire region. Let me read it. It happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks, believed. So we see that there was a widespread breakout of God. Jews were being saved. Greeks were being saved. People were being ushered in to the kingdom of God. But then look at verse 2. Really important that we pick up on the truth out of verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Now get a picture of what's happening. All these people are being saved. But the unbelieving Jews, those that did not want to embrace Jesus as the Messiah, had to somehow put a wedge between the believing Jews and the believing Gentiles and the apostles' message. So what they tried to do is they couldn't discredit the message, so they tried to infiltrate the minds of the hearers. In other words, poison the minds of those that were hearing the message about the integrity or credibility or about the authenticity of the message that was being preached. When revival breaks out, there's always a counter of the infiltration of the mindset. And we see in verse 22 what had happened as a result. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22 is the classic verse where we see that the souls of the disciples were being strengthened. They were being exhorted to continue in the faith. Just like I said earlier to you and me, we need to stay in faith. But notice what happened. Saying we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Chapter 14 now is helping us understand that there is going to be a widespread release of revival in our region. I believe that it's speaking prophetically to us. I also believe that it's also speaking to us to stay in faith and not waver and not allow our minds to be poisoned with the philosophies of this age or traditions of men or religiosity that may try to steal away our faith. But notice this, there's a key word in that verse 22. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. You and I may be experiencing tribulation, trial. We may be having some resistance. But I found a word in that scripture that says through. And when I understand what through means, it means I may be passing into tribulation, but I'm going on the other side of tribulation. And you may be experiencing hardship or resistance tonight, but it's only temporary, because you will go through it. Just like Jesus said to the disciples, let us get into the boat and go to the other side. And halfway across, they got into a huge storm that was resisting their progress. But know this, they did get to the other side. And I want you to be encouraged tonight and not allow tribulation or resistance or hardship to somehow cause you to get discouraged. Stay in faith. Keep your spirit stirred up. That's why the worship tonight was so essential. Because you've been fighting all week. You've been dealing with circumstances in your life. You have to go to work and challenged with all the responsibilities of raising children and keeping a household together. And some of us with our physical health and some of us with financial challenges. And it can wear down on us. That's why we've got to do everything we can to keep ourselves stirred up. And when they began to worship, I appreciated so much the passion and the heartfelt touching of the hem of God tonight. Because you see, I got to have that. I can't just come to church and get a little dabble, do you? You see, I'm in the middle of a war. And I aim to stay in faith. And sometimes you need other people around you to say, you're going to go through this tribulation. You may be in the middle of the battle, but hold on. Don't allow your mind to be poisoned by that which is not true. The Bible does say, if God is for you, then who can be against you? So we see this tremendous revival that takes place in Acts chapter 14 and verse 1 and 2. And then about the tribulation. But if you go back to verse 9, there's a young man sitting there. And I want to focus our message now on this young man. Because the Bible said he was sitting there listening. I believe it represents a generation that is intently listening. They are evaluating. They are observing everything that you and I are going through. We are standing strong in the middle of tribulation. We are staying in faith. And they are intently locked on to what you and I are experiencing. Let's read it again. In verse 8, in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and he walked. The Bible says in Romans 12 and verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. And read the last part with me, please. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Every day of your life, you want to wake up in the morning and strengthen that measure. Every day of your life, you want to expand the parameters of that measure. You and I want to grow our faith and starve our doubts to death. We want to feed our faith the eternal Word of God. We want to stay in faith and realize that God gave us this gift called faith. And faith has the ability to transform situations and circumstances around us. Listen to this. For most of us tonight, we're not really battling certain things that seem to be obvious. It's not the lack of money, or it's not the lack of support of friends, or maybe even the strength of your physical body. It's not what they are that holds people back. It is what they think they are not. You know, most of us are in a circumstance because we believe that's all that we could ever be or do. We have already conceded that it is our fate, it is our plight, it is our, it is God's will for our life. You know, that young man that was sitting there crippled from birth was placed and told where to sit. They put him wherever they chose for him to be. And listen, his life was now in the hands of others' decisions, others' people's will and whim. You and I are not like that in the kingdom of God. I don't want you to relegate your future to anybody. I don't want you to concede anything in your present to anything happening around you. You and I have got to realize that we've got faith. And when faith becomes evident, then the miracle power of God is able to intervene and begin to strengthen that which was weak in us and be able to cause us to get up and do something that we've never done before. I'm looking forward to the rest of this day. I've discovered some pretty powerful things today. I've been able to do some things today that I've never done before. I'm going to look forward to tomorrow, and I'm going to get to know God in a different level. I'm going to go further than I ever thought possible. I'm going to hear things that I never knew before, and I'm going to be able to disclose and say things that I never learned in a school of any kind. But it's the Holy Spirit activated in my life that is revealing from faith to faith and from glory to glory. I refuse to allow myself to think that I am not in a position to receive from God. You know what we mostly struggle with? We mostly struggle with trying to die to self, trying to die to our thoughts of defeat, and trying to overcome all these temptations. You know what? You and I have already died to self. If you're born again, you no longer live anyway. I don't know why we keep trying to strive over something and resuscitate something that's already dead. Let it die. Forget about it. Somebody said it like this: just lean back into the person of Jesus and let him take over. Find that we live out of a place of rest in God. A.W. Tozer, he said this, great theologian of the past: faith is the vitamin that makes all we take from the Bible digestible. I really like that. It's sort of a vitamin that helps us to process what we're receiving from God. I want to have great faith today. I want to guard my words and my mind and my thoughts. I don't want to allow anything to intrude upon my anticipation of good that God has planned for me. Because if I'm not careful, my mind can become poisoned by those who would try to tell me that God's not good to me, or I don't deserve his goodness. You see, Acts chapter 14 is like Hebrews chapter 11. It's another faith chapter. Really, that's what it's all about. George Mueller said this: the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of faith, that's the end of anxiety. See, you and I have to be anxious for nothing. We don't have to be worried or concerned, because we know that our Papa God, our Daddy Jesus, our God, he is for us and not against us. And even though it looks like we're going through a hard time, I've got the scripture in verse 22 of Acts 14 that says, through many tribulations, we shall enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So there may be some resistance to me tonight, but I know this: I've got a promise of God. I'm going to stay in faith. I'm going to enter the kingdom of God. And on the other side, peace is waiting for me. Joy is waiting for me. The effect of my righteousness is waiting for me. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in Romans that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Acts 14, 22 says, through many tribulations shall we enter into the kingdom of God. I may not look like much tonight, but I'm entering into peace. I may not have a lot of shouting and joy, but I'm on my way into joy. I may be having some difficulty and I may be having some struggle, but I am walking in the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus, because that's the promises of God to me. You've got to encourage yourself tonight and don't concede, don't give in, don't give up, don't back down, don't walk away. This is not a time for us to throw in the towel. Faith always looks beyond the circumstances. Let me give you an example. Same chapter, Acts 14. Paul's preaching, and here's what happens in verse 19. The Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Now, this wasn't their first intent. If you read earlier in chapter 14, they were already threatening them that they were going to stone them. Paul was undaunted and kept preaching the word of God. They continued to threaten him. Paul said, all right, let's go to another city. They went to another city, and those same Jews from Antioch and Iconium followed him and carried out their threat. They literally stoned him, thinking that he was dead, dragged him outside of the city in order to bury him. But look what happened in verse 20. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went back into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. I don't know about you, but if I had just been stoned, I'd want at least a week off before I travel anywhere. I'd want at least a couple days of R&R before I preached another sermon. He got right up out of the heap of the stones, went back into the city and said, look it, I'm staying in faith. I came preaching Jesus Christ. You resisted and I came back preaching Jesus Christ. You know, the key in all of this is those that stood and gathered around him. It's important that you surround yourself with other people who are staying in faith. People that will believe that God is able to do what he said he can do. People that will gather around you when you're in the middle of the fight for your life. That's not the time you want friends to take flight and leave you. That's the time you need men and women of faith to surround you and gather around you and pray you up out of a circumstance that is only can be overcome by faith in God. You see, it was a faith gathering that was happening there. Faith is never satisfied to leave you where it finds you. Faith is never satisfied to allow you to remain where life tells you to sit. Look at it again in Acts chapter 14 and verse 8. In Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. Man, that is a powerful scripture. You can say, well, I have such empathy for that man. I feel so poorly about it. Look at his situation. No strength in his feet. He's sitting there, a cripple from his mother's womb. He'd never enjoyed what it's like to be able to put one foot in front of the other, carrying his weight, stand upright and walk down a pathway. Gee, look at him. We ought to just really all feel sorry for him. But let me tell you something. Faith will never feel sorry for you. Faith will challenge you. Faith will come to you where you've been placed. If this situation in the world has placed you on the bottom of the totem pole, faith will find you there. If the situation in your life has pushed you back and you're at the end of the table, faith will find you there. Don't ever think for one minute, just because you never owned a house, that you can't have a house. Just because you've never walked doesn't mean you won't walk. Just because you've never been married doesn't mean that we're not coming to your wedding. Just because you never had enough money to buy clothing and you've always had to borrow it doesn't mean that we're about to go on a shopping spree together. You've got to let never go and allow faith to find you where you are. And that's what happened to this young man. Faith, pistis in the Greek, meaning this, denotes a force that is forward, directed, and aggressive, never passive, never backwards, always reaching forward to obtain a specific target or goal. Paul said this, I perceive this young man is pressing forward. I believe this man is directed and aggressive. I believe this man is not being passive, even though he can't even get up and walk. He's not looking backward. He's reaching forward. I perceive he has a specific target and a specific goal. That's really what Paul was saying. He looked at him and he began to feel and sense and see faith arise in his heart, even though his circumstances were denying his achieving his goal. He realized that what he was hearing is all he needed. because faith comes by the hearing of God's word. And as Paul was preaching, faith was coming. Faith found him where he'd always been sitting. Faith found him in the place where he'd always been placed by his family. Faith has found him in his situation of dependency upon others. And suddenly, things were about to change. Faith is like an arrow released toward a target that cannot be retracted. When you release faith, it will find its target. And you can't bring it back. You can't retract it. You and I, in verse 8, just because we never have doesn't mean we won't have. Just because you've never possessed a thing doesn't mean you will never possess that thing. I believe that God wants to give us things of which eyes have not seen and ears have not heard about. I don't know where other people have placed you, where other people have put you. You know, sometimes parents put us in certain places. Sometimes people tell us we're undeserving. Sometimes situations develop that somehow dictate and define us as unworthy. But those places are never final. And those people are never authoritative. Not when it comes to faith. Because when faith comes, faith has greater authority. Faith has a greater plan. Faith is tied into the very will and the heart of God. And when faith comes, you are about to be elevated. You're about to be promoted. You're about to be leaving where you've been to find the place that God has specifically set for your life. I believe that it's a faith, like an arrow releasing to a target tonight that cannot be retracted. I've got great faith for this church. I've got great faith for you. I've got great faith for your children. I've got great faith for every person I come in contact with. I spoke on a phone today with a young man training for ministry who had gone through a horrific situation with a pastor. He found himself to be so discouraged. I got a hold of him and I said, listen, I'm about to shoot an arrow of faith in your heart. That thing that just happened to you is the greatest thing that you could have ever had happen to you. You're coming out on the other side and entering into the kingdom of God. I continue to tell him about the great plan that God has for him and how this circumstance will never define him. Only the call of God will define you. You need to begin to hear the voice of God and grow deaf to the voice of that person who relegated you to that kind of a situation. You need to rise up and see the perspective that God has. By the time we got off the phone, I was encouraged. He was encouraged. We were shouting, hallelujah. And I believe he was on his way to another place. Don't allow the enemy to poison your mind in thinking that you're not deserving. What did Paul see? Paul saw two things. It's the two things that God's looking for in your life. He's looking for it in my life. Number one, Paul saw expectancy. When that preaching was going on, this young man wasn't looking at his clock. He wasn't yawning. He wasn't trying to find a more comfortable place. He wasn't looking for a break to the restroom. He wasn't trying to leave early. No, he was on the edge of his seat. He was looking directly into the eyes of the apostle. He was receiving every word. He was like a dry sponge that was receiving now the moisture coming from the eternal word of God. He was like that dry prairie land that suddenly now was soaking in that refreshing and that rain that was falling upon that dusty pathway. He was a man that was receiving with expectancy that what God was saying he was going to do, it just exploded in him. Not only did he have expectancy, but he had enthusiasm. Entheo, I love that in the Latin term, God in you. The reason why you and I are so enthusiastic about life is because God is in us. When God is in you, you can't help but be enthusiastic. Enthusiasm comes from the Latin entheo. When God is in you, we are the most enthusiastic, most expectant people on the face of the earth. We believe that something good is about to happen to us. We believe that we're sitting here now, crippled, no strength in our feet. People placed us here. It's been our plight since we were born. But something is about to change. We don't allow our circumstance to relegate us to the point of defeat. We refuse to allow where we are today to define where we're going to be tomorrow. We believe that God has a bright future for us. We believe that tomorrow is going to be a day full of blessing. Why? Because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I want to take you to Luke chapter 5 just for a minute, and I won't keep you much longer. But look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. These were the disciples that were fishing all night. These were professionals. They hadn't caught much. Jesus was preaching, and he asked if he could use their boat as a platform, as a pulpit. He began to preach with them, and finally afterwards, when he had stopped speaking, the Bible says, he said to Simon, "Hey man, thanks for letting me use your boat. Now launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch." Now we know that Peter thought, I don't know what this man thinks he's doing or who he thinks he is. We've been out there all night. There is no fish in the lake. I don't know where they went, but they are gone. Jesus said, "No, I want you to go back out and do it again." But notice what he said, launch out into the deep. I like the word there, into the deep, because deep is really defined by faith. What he was saying is make a move of faith. Make a move of expectancy. Make a move with enthusiasm. Go back out thinking that you're coming back in with a load full. Don't go back out thinking that it's going to be the same as it was the last time you went. I want you to go out into the deep. I want you to go beyond your expectation. I want you to go beyond the boundary that you set previously. I want you to come into the realm where I dwell. I want you to go into the region that I'm telling you to go. And Peter said, "All right, I'll do it." Now, you know what the story was. They found the abundance of catch. Why? Because they went with expectancy. They went with enthusiasm. I remember when I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit, I received a speaking with other tongues, and I had tried to go the whole route of the church. And if you've been in the church any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. I came up as a new convert. Anybody want to see the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I said, "Yeah, I do." And they tell me it's for everybody. I said, "Okay, give it to me." And so I stood up there and I said, "Okay, lay it on me." And they prayed for me and they prayed for me and they had nothing happening. I'm just standing there going, "Ain't nothing happening here. I don't know what this is." Meanwhile, everybody else is speaking in tongues and I'm standing there thinking there's something wrong with me. I don't quite get this. And then brother so-and-so, he was one of the elders in the church. He came up and he said, "Let me have him." He walked up to me and put his hands on my head and began to pray. And as he prayed and emphasized the words, he would shake my head. And like sort of like Jesus, we pray that he receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like shaking up all over the place. I remember one time, you know, the old sisters, mothers of the church gathered around me and they're praying and they're laying. They say, "Get on your knees. You got to get on your knees." So I'm down on my knees. And it's 45 minutes later and the back of my hamstrings are burning, man. I'm like, "Please let me up. Please let me up." And they're shaking and they're back and forth trying to get me to just receive it. Just receive it. And then they get in my face. "Do you smoke? Are you smoking?" I said, "Well, I still smoke." "Oh, you got to give them cigarettes up. That's your problem." And, you know, we're going back and forth. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you look at me like, "I have no idea what you're talking about." But I remember the day when I heard about a revival service in Toledo. And they said there was such a move of the Holy Spirit. I said, "I'm going to go. I just want to be touched by God. I want to receive from the Lord." And I remember driving to Toledo about an hour and a half. We pulled up to the church. I had such an expectancy. I said, "You know what, Tina? I got a feeling when I walk in that place, I'm going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't know why, but I just feel like I'm going to." And as I walked up closer to the building and sat down, my expectancy grew. My enthusiasm grew. And I remember at the end of the service, they were asking for prayer. They were asking, "Anybody need prayer for anything? Come up." I mean, I was almost the first one up there. And suddenly, as I walked up, I just began to speak in a heavenly language. I didn't have Sister Yay Yay grabbing hold of me. I didn't have Brother Yo-Yo trying to grab me. I didn't have any kind of, you know, whatever going on. I said, God, it's just through expectancy and my enthusiasm that you and I made the connection. And I believe that when you, like Peter, will go beyond the boundaries you've accepted for yourself, you're going to experience great things for God. You have to experience God's boundaries, which are none. You need to go beyond, go out into the deep. Let tomorrow be a day when you say, you know what, God? I want to expand my parameters with you. I want to get to know you in a greater way. And that's really what Acts 14 is all about. Acts chapter 14 and verse 10, and I'm going to try to bring this to a close, but it's interesting that Peter said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and he walked. Faith knows that what we see is not all that there is. Faith knows there's another corner to turn. There's another valley to cross. There's another day to dawn. There's another friend to meet. There's another opportunity to receive. There's another blessing waiting for you. Faith knows that what you see is not all that there is. Faith knows that what we are is not all that we will be.
Amen.
I was sharing with a gentleman today. I said, listen, stop trying to do this Christian thing and just be this Christian thing. I said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, might, and your strength. And your neighbor as yourself. Play it out between God and others. Don't do it because they expect you to do it. Don't do it because the church tells you you have to do it. Do it because you are that. That you are becoming that. And allow the Holy Spirit to be resident in your life, to give you the guidance and the conviction that you need, so that when you're straying from what you ought to be, he could tap you on the shoulder and get you back on the straight and narrow path. Now, the gentleman I was speaking to happens to be a local policeman. So I use the illustration. In the morning, when I'm on my way to work out at about 5:15 in the morning, I come to this one intersection and the light is forever. Now, there's no cars around. It is dark outside, no traffic, and the light is red. I pull up and it stays red. 1 minute, 2 minutes, sometimes 3 minutes. And I'm driving back and forth trying to trip the thing, you know. Do you ever do that? I don't know if that works. Does anybody know? I'm driving back and forth. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go through this light. Obviously, something's wrong. This is an extended period of time. And then in my mind, I'm thinking, but what if the police is behind that building and sees me go through the red light? I didn't go through it because of the potential presence of that one which would get me back on the straight and narrow. I said, when you have that kind of consciousness of the Holy Spirit in your life, you won't break the law. You will continue to be what God's called you to be. You won't try to be what other people are telling you to be. You won't try to stray and become what yourself or flesh wants you to become. You're going to do it because the residence of the Holy Spirit is going to keep you within the confines of the calling of God upon your life. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight faith sees you more and beyond what you are tonight. You can be more than what you are. There is more to experience. There's a greater dimension in every dimension. I'm trying to discover this as a grandfather. I'm trying to discover this as a parent. I'm trying to discover this as a husband and as a pastor and as a friend. I said, God, I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better pastor because I know faith always has more on the other side. So faith knows what we see is not all there is. Faith knows what we are is not all we'll be. And faith knows that where we are tonight is not your final destination.
Amen. Amen.
I sense some future that's big for your life. I sense something huge for every one of us. I fully expect to get invitations to places I never dreamed possible. I fully expect to shake hands of individuals that I never thought I would have opportunity to meet. I think of platforms that God is going to give me. I believe that I am going to go where I never dreamed possible before. Ladies and gentlemen, have faith in God. Don't allow your circumstance to overwhelm you. Don't allow the place that the situations in your life have caused you to sit. Maybe temporarily you have no strength in your legs. Maybe you've never walked before, but that never disqualifies a believer. Never is no answer for a faith-believing Christian. Never only means watch and see what God will do, because He's about to turn things around. He's about to prove that He alone is God. And with God, all things, right, are possible to him who believes. I like this statement, and I'm almost done. Faith is always dead to doubt. Faith is always dumb to discouragement. And faith is always ignorant to the impossible. Our problem is we're too alive to why we can't. We are too intelligent and educated, and we've become discouraged in the natural. We have become people that can give you 10 reasons why it just won't work. Why don't you sit back and get out of the way and allow faith to move in, and allow faith to tell doubt to get out? Why don't you allow faith to say to discouragement, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Why don't you allow faith to speak to the impossible and call Lazarus forth out of the tomb where he had been lying for 4 days? I believe that we're going to see supernatural things happen just like they did in Acts chapter 14. So let me ask this question as I close for the third time. What does faith look like? Hebrews chapter 12 and 3 says this, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul." You know what the Bible says? That God himself, Jesus, is the author and the finisher of our faith. What does faith look like? Looks like Jesus. It looks just like him. And when you operate in faith, you're looking just like Jesus. When you talk faith, you're talking just like Jesus. When you walk in faith, you're walking just like Jesus. It's the Word of God being personified in our lives. See, I have no other choice but to walk by faith and not by sight. Because Hebrews 11 and 6 says, that's the only way that I can make my daddy happy. He wants to see me walk the way Jesus, his son, walked. I have no other lifestyle. I have no other alternatives. I will walk by faith and believe that God is able and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that tonight? I believe that tonight. Hallelujah. Get up on your feet. He is the creator and completer of our faith. Thank you, Jesus. Would you with me lift your hands up right now in this room? Would you with me close your eyes? And would you just reach out to the author and the finisher of your faith? The apostle of our salvation. Oh, hallelujah. We stand in faith tonight, God. We speak in faith. We declare, Lord, that we, like Peter, are going to launch out into the deep. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Lord God, I bless those who are in this room tonight. I want to encourage them that never means never. Oh, with God, you are about to take the never and make it a reality. Thank you, Father. Lord, this young man leaped and he walked. May we leap out of this room tonight. May we walk by faith. Father, strengthen my brothers and sisters tonight. Don't let them grow weary. Don't let them be discouraged. Don't let them, God, even tonight, think for one minute that you passed them by, but that you are on the way. Hallelujah. Because faith always sees the answer. Now we give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus. Lift up a praise to the Lord. Come on, guys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, praise team. Lift up a praise to the Lord.
Exceedingly.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Abundantly.
We believe, Father.
Above all.
We believe, Lord.
That you can ask all things according to His promises that worketh in you.
Yes, Lord, let Him work in us, God.
God is able to do just what He said He will do.
Oh, yeah.
He's gonna fulfill every promise to you.
Don't give up on God.
Don't give up on God.
Cause
He won't give up on you. He's able.
How many believe it? He's able. He's able. Yes.
Me, I'm believing God for something, and I just want to come in agreement in prayer. If you want to just receive prayer tonight, just a touch of agreement, why don't you come up across the front here and just stand across, and I'm going to ask the elders, Pastor Tossie, Rita, we're just going to pray and agree with you, and we just thank you for being here tonight. God bless all of you. We really, really value our time together. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you on Sunday morning. We're going to share a word on Sunday that I really believe is going to help us all make that journey back to Bethel. It's going to be an exciting moment. So bring somebody with you, all right? God bless you. If you need prayer, come on up in the front.